In today's news headlines, special counsel Robert Mueller gave public testimony to two House committees about the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election and President Donald Trump's efforts to obstruct justice. In his opening statement to the House Judiciary Committee, Mueller said this.
Let me say one more thing. Over the course of my career, I have seen a number of challenges to our democracy. The Russian government's effort to interfere in our election is among the most serious. And as I said on May 29th, this deserves the attention of every American.
That's the special counsel Robert Mueller in his opening statement on Wednesday. Committee Chair Gerald Nadler wasted no time in getting to the heart of why Democrats held the hearing to make clear that the report did not exonerate the president, as he has repeatedly claimed.
The president has repeatedly claimed that your report found there was no obstruction and that it completely and totally exonerated him. But that is not what your report said, is it?
Correct. It is not what the report said. When it came to the president's culpability, we needed to go forward only after taking into account the OLC opinion that indicated that a president, a sitting president, cannot be indicted.
So the report did not conclude that he did not commit obstruction of justice. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what about total exoneration? Did you actually totally exonerate the president?
No.
That's House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler questioning Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Democratic Representative Ted Lieu continued that line of questioning.
I ask you, the reason again that you did not indict Donald Trump is because of OLC opinion stating that you cannot indict a sitting president, correct?
That is correct.
That's Representative Ted Lieu on Wednesday. Republican Representative Ken Buck questioned Mueller about indicting a president after he leaves office.
Could you charge the president with a crime after he left office?
Yes.
You believe that he committed, you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office?
Yes.
That's Representative Ken Buck questioning Mr. Mueller. Meanwhile, President Trump went off on social media, firing off tweet after tweet to counter what he considers a, quote, witch hunt. A day before the hearing, FBI Director Christopher Wray testified to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee as part of the GOP's efforts to investigate the origins of the special counsel probe. During his testimony, Wray shared a statistic that has received very little news coverage about domestic terrorism.
That a majority of the domestic terrorism cases that we've investigated are motivated by some version of what you might call white supremacist violence, but it includes other things as well.
That's FBI Director Christopher Wray telling the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday that the majority of domestic terrorism cases that the FBI has investigated involve white supremacist violence. A new Politico Morning Consult poll has just found that a majority of Americans consider the chants heard at Trump's North Carolina rally of "send her back" to be racist. The chants were in response to Trump's frenzied whipping up of hate aimed at Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, a refugee and the first Somali American member of Congress. 58% of Americans felt the chants were racist, but among Republicans alone, that number was only 24%. On Tuesday, Trump addressed an ultra-right-wing youth summit organized by Turning Point USA, a group whose leaders are documented white supremacists. During his speech, he denounced Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, a Muslim American woman of color, as a, quote, crazed lunatic, and continued his attacks on other members of the squad of Congresswomen of color. He also disturbingly made a claim about having the constitutional power to do whatever he wants.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president, but I don't even talk about that.
That's Trump claiming that Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution gives him the right to do whatever he wants as president. On Tuesday, Trump filed a suit in federal court to stop the Democratic chair of the House Ways and Means Committee to obtain his state tax returns after the state of New York passed a law allowing it. Democrats in the House responded by getting ready to pass a measure strengthening their standing to subpoena Trump's financial information. The U.S. Senate on Tuesday finally approved a broadly bipartisan bill to fund, until 2092, compensation for the families of first responders to the September 11th attacks. The vote passed 97-2 and came after months of delays. Political commentator and comedian Jon Stewart made it his mission to advocate on behalf of the first responders and used his celebrity to pressure Congress. The House of Representatives on Tuesday passed a bipartisan resolution to condemn movements that encourage a boycott of Israel, saying that such an effort, quote, promotes principles of collective guilt, mass punishment, and group isolation, which are destructive of prospects for progress toward peace. The resolution was directly aimed at the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement that is modeled on the anti-apartheid boycott movement against South Africa. House members brushed aside the objections of several newly elected members of Congress in a vote of 398-17. In immigration news, a federal judge ruled in favor of the Trump administration's new rule to deny asylum to those who pass through a third country before entering the U.S. The rule can be applied while lawsuits are challenging it and wend their way through the courts. And immigration authorities finally released an 18-year-old natural-born U.S. citizen who had been arrested and detained for 3 weeks. Francisco Galicia was born in Dallas, Texas, but immigration officials refused to believe the documentation that he presented proving he was a citizen. Newly unsealed documents from a drug company in a landmark lawsuit on the opioid crisis have revealed the inner workings of the pharmaceutical industry. According to the Washington Post, the files, quote, show the pressure within drug companies to sell opioids in the face of numerous red flags during the height of the epidemic and reveal, quote, the ignored concerns of some employees about the huge volume of pain pills streaming across the nation. The Justice Department says it has opened a broad inquiry into whether big technology firms such as Facebook, Amazon, and Apple are in violation of antitrust regulations. The DOJ will be opening the review together with the Federal Trade Commission. A new report by the group United for Respect has found that private equity firms are buying up corporate chains, and their actions have resulted in a greater likelihood of bankruptcies. The resulting job losses total about 1.3 million and have hit women and people of color the hardest. And the Center for Environmental Health also released a report that studied the presence of the Monsanto weed killer glyphosate in human bloodstreams and found that a whopping 90% of the group that had volunteered to be tested had recently been exposed to the toxin. Reports emerged on Wednesday that Puerto Rico's embattled governor Ricardo Rosello is expected to offer his resignation after 2 weeks of sustained protests against him. As of this recording, he has yet to resign. And finally, Boris Johnson has formally transitioned into the role of British Prime Minister. In his first address as PM, Johnson, who has been derided as the UK's Trump, said, quote, "The doubters, the doomsters, the gloomsters, they're going to get it wrong again. The people who bet against Britain are going to lose their shirts because we are going to restore trust in our democracy." And that does it for our news headlines today.